Well, welcome everybody to another Tech Doctor podcast. So glad you joined us. We have a couple people today with me who have been on the podcast before, so they're no strangers to you. Although Allison Mervis is now Allison Hartley with a brand new name, which I think means congratulations are in order on your marriage. And Allison, thanks for being back.
Thank you, and thanks for the congratulations. I'm really happy to be back.
Excellent. Glad to have you here. And we have Lisa Salinger. And as far as I know, Lisa, you haven't changed your name, but I do know you've been terribly busy because I've heard you on all kinds of Serotech podcasts.
I have been. I've been enjoying it very much. And kudos to you for pronouncing it correctly. My last name, I mean. My family can't even really decide how to pronounce it. So, yeah, it's good fun.
Well, it's one of the things that you taught me the last time you were on this podcast is how to pronounce your name, and I haven't forgotten, see? So,
that's because I had the ruler.
Yeah, the ruler.
Reached all the way from here to Texas.
Yeah, I hope you have the ruler today because I have a feeling we might need it before this is over. All right, well, the reason that I was so pleased that you two were willing to join me today was because I want us to talk about the Amazon Kindle ebook reader. And I will admit that I've been frustrated with Amazon for not making the entire Kindle line of ebook readers accessible. I don't have one at this point, but am seriously considering it because I am a voracious reader and I can get quite a few of the books cheaper in the Kindle store than I can in the iBook store. So I am considering it, but I considered it more seriously when I heard the two of you have recently acquired the one accessible version of the Kindle, which is called the Kindle Keyboard. And so having tremendous respect for both of you and your access technology skills, I thought, well, if these women are investing in this product, I'd like to take another look at it. So Lisa, would you just tell us a little bit about when you got your Kindle and what getting it was like, and just introduce us to it a little bit?
Sure. My particular gift seems to be making a long story even longer, and that holds over also with the whole process of things. You will never hear me say something like, well, I just decided to get it, so I went out and I got it. This was something I had debated about for roughly 2 years or so, and I thought, you know, I don't really need Kindle because I have Bookshare and I have Bard, and you know, I can get books from Audible. But when I got my iPhone and I found iBooks, I was amazed at how many books there were. And I keep a recommended reading list where I have books listed and in some cases the name of the person who recommended it or something about the book, like, this one starts really slow, but stay with it because you'll be glad you did, that kind of thing. And I could find some of these books on iBooks. But when I couldn't find them on iBooks, I'd just go searching online. And many of them were on Kindle. And I never really saw myself getting a Kindle. Because, well, part of it was the accessibility. Or the lack thereof. Part of it was that there is the Kindle app for PC. I think the thing that bugs me the most is that there is a Kindle app for the iPhone, and you can see your books, but you can't read them. And I think the whole principle of accessibility or inaccessibility was what made me hold back. You know, I don't want to support a company that would do this, you know, would not take the views of its customers seriously. And finally, I got to the point where I thought, you know, by not getting this, I'm really shooting myself in the foot because there were so many books that I wanted to read. And if I had it to do all over again, I would have done it sooner because I'm amazed at the number of free Kindle books there are. And you can subscribe to newsletters and get them and such. But authors may, for example, make one book, the first book out of their series, free. So, you know, there really is quite a lot. I've had my Kindle for about 3 weeks, and I have I think 40 some books on it, and I've paid maybe for two or three of those. Now, I do have more that I would like to get, and, you know, the Kindle is not perfect from an access standpoint, but it does meet my needs. The other option, of course, is the Kindle for PC app, and because I work on a computer during the day, I really just felt like I want something that I can take away from the computer that's not having me sit at the computer again for my free time. And finally, the last thing I think that pushed me toward this was when they came out with the Kindle Fire and the Kindle Paperwhite, and I thought, okay, they have all these new devices. How long, realistically, are they going to support the old one? And I was looking, and they had Kindle keyboard with Wi-Fi, and then they have it with Wi-Fi and 3G. This is on the Amazon site. And the one with Wi-Fi was a little cheaper, and I thought, well, I can just get that. And I thought about it, and I looked again about 3 days later, and they didn't have the Wi-Fi-only version. All they had was the 3G. Now, I have no inside knowledge. This is my own feeling, my own guess. And that is that when the wireless version went away, I thought, you know, I wonder if they're just going to sell what they have and then the Kindle keyboard will go away. Now, the Kindle keyboard also, if you are familiar, apparently it used to be called the Kindle 3. But had been, I think, slightly redesigned and rechristened the Kindle keyboard. But I just want to stress that I really have no inside knowledge. I've not read or heard anything from Amazon. It's just my own feeling that this is going to go away fairly shortly, and so that the time to act was now.
Well, I think you might well be right about that. I went to both Best Buy and Target yesterday. Best Buy didn't have any Kindle keyboards. They had the other models. And Target said they don't sell Kindle products anymore. So I came home and looked at Amazon online, and they are still selling the Kindle keyboard. But as far as I could tell, when I looked at how many they had, it was showing 9 new ones. And I don't know what that really means in terms of whether that means that's all they have in stock or they're going to have any more or what. But you very well might be right that the Kindle keyboard might be going away. We don't want to start a rumor because we don't know, but it's sure getting harder to find. So there's something going on. And unfortunately, it's the only model of the Kindle that has any accessibility. So it may become even more of a problem. But it sounds like you're pretty excited about it and getting a lot of use out of it. And we can talk more in a little while about the whole issues of accessibility and what is and isn't. But how about you, Allison? What made you decide to get the Kindle, and what's your experience been so far?
Well, it's been a really positive experience so far having the Kindle. I was actually kind of prompted by Lisa getting one on Twitter and following her experiences with it. I'm kind of an obsessively voracious reader, I guess you could call me. I need to have access to books in every possible format that I can, because I'm one of these people who's like, God forbid I go somewhere and I'm stuck and I'm going to sit there and want to read and not have access to everything that I want. So it was kind of my obsessiveness over books in general that ultimately prompted me to get this thing. I knew that it could be used at the very least to read a book. I had used Kindle for PC pretty extensively. I have become pretty obsessed also with mobility and being able to take all of my stuff with me. And I didn't want to have to lug a netbook around. And I knew from previous experience that the Kindle app for the iPhone and the iPad was not going to meet my needs. I just keep it around, generally thinking with each update, maybe now it's accessible, and I check it and I'm always disappointed. I had some moral misgivings too about getting this machine, only because Amazon, you know, has not recently been committed to accessibility. So I'm like, do I, like Lisa again, I'm like, do I really want to support Amazon, but I'm already a Prime member for the benefits of the free shipping and everything. So I figured, what the heck? But instead of giving them all of my money for a new one, I did get a good deal on a used one, which caused some interesting issues in terms of getting it registered. I had to ultimately get Cited Help for that because, unfortunately, registering the Kindle keyboard is not possible without Cited Help, at least in my experience. It's kind of, the whole machine is kind of half accessible, but for what I like to do, which is reading, it's totally usable, and I've absolutely been loving it.
I'm assuming that theoretically you can change the registration from whoever owned it before to you, but that part of it, I gather, if you try to do it on the Kindle itself, is not accessible. Is that the deal?
Yeah, the person from whom I bought it must have deregistered it before they sent it out because it came to me as unregistered. And I was able to go into settings. I was able to enter on the registration screen, but then it read the fields. I just didn't get any verbal feedback as to what I was typing. And of course, accessing the symbols like period and at and everything, that was the main stumbling block, was the fact that you have to hit this symbols key if you want to type a symbol. And then you have to use the arrows to select the symbol you want. And unfortunately, that was the only part of the process that I couldn't just figure out. The rest of the keyboard I could figure out when I was typing a letter. I could use the shift key with a Q through P and know I was typing a number. But the symbols were the big stumbling block for me.
And it's my understanding that the keys on the Kindle keyboard don't speak. Is that...
They do not. No, there is no keyboard echo of any kind.
They're tiny little keys. I would say that about, oh, I'm bad at this, 7/8 maybe of the Kindle is either the edges of it or it's the screen. And at the bottom, you have four rows of these tiny little keys. If I put my three fingers, my index and middle and ring fingers, over the four rows of keys, they just fit. There's maybe a little bit of room to spare, but the whole keyboard is roughly three fingers wide. I find I can't so much touch type on it as I'm counting keys.
That's what I do too. Yeah.
Right. But unless you're searching for something, you really don't have to do that much typing.
I'm understanding, or at least have heard or read, that when you take the Kindle keyboard out of the box, that you can hold down the shift key and press the space bar and get the guide voice to start talking. Is that correct?
Yes. That's one of the great things about it, is you can independently turn on accessibility out of the box.
So you can turn on accessibility, but I'm gathering from what you all are saying that accessibility is limited in the fact that the Key Echo doesn't speak, and so you can't fully register it, or I'm guessing it would be really tough maybe to enter wireless ID or something like that.
I was able to enter my wireless ID. It was a little bit trial and error, and it took me a little bit of time, but it did get done. When you're turning on accessibility, you're turning on kind of half-baked accessibility, but the portions that you really need to access for the Kindle, which for me at least is just reading the books, is 100% accessible.
Amazon has two parts to its voice feature, and if you're just hearing a demonstration of it, you wouldn't know that they were two different things because they're spoken in the same voice. There is voice guide, and that's what can be turned on. Now, for some reason, mine couldn't. I had someone tell me the steps I needed to take, but I don't know if there was one key press I was missing or what, but I did end up walking through it with a sighted friend, and when she read me the screen, I found that I was, you know, so close, I just hadn't done the last step. But I had to go into menus and turn it on.
So you turn it on through a menu rather than being able to press the shortcut key.
Well, I'm not sure why that was. It could be that my particular unit was not updated. If it was just sitting, because I did get mine new, because it was just sitting in a factory somewhere, a storeroom somewhere, it's possible that it hadn't gotten that update. But I also had trouble registering my Kindle. It said unregistered, and I'm not sure why, because coming from Amazon, it should have been. But I called Kindle tech support, and I was sure that that was not going to be a very fun experience, because I thought, well, with Amazon's attitude about not making these accessible, what kind of support am I going to get? And I really must say that they were fantastic. I had a few questions. The person I spoke to, if he didn't know, he would check, tried various things. He was very, he seemed very fascinated and very into the whole thing. I unfortunately digressed. I said there were two kinds of speech. One is voice guide that you have to turn on, and the other is text-to-speech. And text-to-speech is on a per-book basis. So what that means is once you open a book to read it, each time you need to enable the text-to-speech. What it also means is that you need to make sure before you buy a book that it is that it has text-to-speech enabled. And once you press enter on the book's title, this is from the Amazon website, you can check and you can make sure that text-to-speech is enabled. As I said, I have 40-some books on my Kindle, and I have not yet found a situation where it isn't enabled.
Just a couple questions about that, Lisa. It's my understanding that you can purchase books by going to the Amazon website on your computer, but at this time, it's not possible to purchase them directly on the Kindle. Is that right?
That is my understanding. On the bright side, purchasing them on the computer is way too easy. You can also purchase from your, if you have an iOS device, I would assume the same is true with Android. For example, some books are only free for a limited time on this email that I get. And so I will open up Safari and you can purchase right from there. You can't, oddly enough, purchase from the Amazon app.
So Allison, it sounds like what Lisa's telling us is that it's not that the Kindle itself can't do purchasing, it's that the accessibility is not there to do it.
Exactly. Yeah, that's been my experience as well, and I haven't had the time to sit down. I'm the type of geek who would do the number, certain number of presses and hit the okay and hope it works, but I just haven't had the time to sit down with somebody with working eyes and figure out exactly what all that entails. But yeah, I've been using the website with various screen readers on the Windows side, and it's a cinch. It's so easy to, way too easy, like Lisa said, although I've been doing the free book thing a lot too. But it's about, you know, if you know what you're searching for, it's really under a minute process to buy the book, and it wirelessly shows up as long as you have wireless turned on or the 3G. As long as you have all that, it's about a 1 minute process to have the book show up on your Kindle.
Yeah, I went online on the Mac yesterday to the Kindle bookstore at Amazon and was looking at a book that I'm interested in, which I heard about on one of the book podcasts that I subscribe to. And the book was easily found by searching for the title on the Amazon store, and it was easy enough to see how to purchase it. I didn't actually buy it yet because I don't have the Kindle. I do have the PC application, and that showed up in a combo box there as where the book would be sent if I actually bought it. And I'm assuming that if I added a Kindle keyboard to my Amazon list, that would also show up in that combo box.
Yeah, it would be one of the choices you could select. It's so easy.
So it is, I guess, a bit of a disadvantage that you can't accessibly purchase books on the Kindle, but as long as you have a Mac or a PC, it sounds like it's not a terrible issue since it's easy to do on the computer. So that's a good thing.
Yeah, it's definitely not a showstopper. That's for sure.
So, what about reading? It's my understanding that you have some control over the reading, but what kind of navigation do you actually have on the Kindle keyboard in terms of being able to navigate through a book?
You can read continuously, but you cannot navigate by line or sentence or paragraph or word. You can't spell a word. So if I'm reading a general fiction or nonfiction book, I would be fine. For example, though, I got a book on Bookshare the other day about Drupal, web coding language something, and it would seem to me that punctuation would be important in a case like that. So that is not the kind of book that I would opt to read on the Kindle keyboard. It does not really interface with anything. It is a standalone unit. So you cannot, for example, pair it with a braille display. The thing for me, more than words and lines and such, that was a little bit of a problem with the reading was the speed. And I find that even the faster speed is not very fast. I would say the medium speed is conversational. The faster speed is maybe conversational with a touch of caffeine, but not much. I'm used to clipping the iPhone or the Victor Stream on and putting that on high speed and walking around and doing whatever I need to do. But the Kindle doesn't do high speed. I certainly would be hard pressed to find a way to clip it onto me. Not sure I would want to. And so I find that reading is a much more all-absorbing kind of experience on the Kindle. I don't know if you've found that to be the case or not, Allison, but it's been kind of a shift for me, but not necessarily a bad thing.
Yeah, it's been a bit of a shift for me too. I feel like when I'm reading with the Kindle keyboard, I'm either sitting or laying. I'm not really running around cleaning, cooking, doing all the things I do. And yeah, I have found that the lack of navigation has been kind of frustrating for me, especially I'm one of those people who, in order to fall asleep, I have to have a book going until I fall asleep. So inevitably, what will happen is I'll wake up, I won't know where I'm at. I'll have to pause and sleep and then wake up and try to figure it out. And it's kind of a pain because I have to turn text-to-speech off, hit the page up button a couple of times, and hopefully get back to sort of where I was. But there's definitely not the finite navigation that I'm used to with iBooks, obviously with my BookSense and with the computer.
So, Allison, if you hit page up a couple times, is that taking you back a page?
It takes you back a Kindle page, which in my experience is a little bit longer actually than a typical page.
So it's
So
not a
sometimes
screen, it's not a Kindle screen.
it actually very well could be. I've not really gotten the chance to compare, with somebody around who can see if it's going back a full screen. I would assume that that's what it's doing. It's a fairly large screen, so.
So point being, it is that it really allows you to jump back a fixed amount each time you press the button, and I guess you get used to about how far back that takes you.
You come to just kind of expect, okay, this is where I'll be. Usually I'm good with one or two page presses, but it really depends on how
So
zonked
you don't sleep that long before you wake up and realize, oh, I need to
I am.
get
It really
back.
depends on it depends on the day, you know.
Okay, I understand. Well, are there other, I mean, can you move, by chapters? Can you move in other, can you go to the beginning, the end of the book? Can you move in other predictable ways?
I have not found a way to do that yet. I think I heard somewhere on some blog, I read somewhere that you can somehow get to the table of contents if you really want to move through, but I don't know if that's actually entirely accessible. I think it was on a Sighted People blog.
Okay, so not quite sure about that.
No, I'm really not so sure on that. I haven't tried it.
Well, with a lot of books, especially fiction books.
I haven't either.
Okay, you haven't tried that really either.
No. And my first thought was, well, sure, you can do that. You can search for the chapter that you want, because apparently the search is accessible. But then the problem would be, okay, does it have the word chapter, or right. is it the number one, or is it O-N-E, you know?
Or I,
so
yeah.
Not as easy as it would seem at first.
It's a little like working with, a book in Braille in a BRF format that isn't really marked up in any mm-hmm. predictable way, and so it's kind of yeah. hard to know how to search for this or that.
And, exactly.
And I also think there's another, for me at least, another slight similarity when what you were talking about, Lisa. You know, for me, I've started reading a lot more books in Braille. And I really love reading in Braille, but it's the same kind of deal as the Kindle. It's slower, and you can't really do other things while you're reading books in Braille. So it sounds like, you know, in some ways in my younger life, it was all about speed. I wanted to speed through the book as fast as I could. But these days, it's not all about speed. And it sounds like for you all, a reduction in speed in some ways is not too high a price to pay for the having access to this huge library of books. I mean, that's kind of what I'm getting.
Exactly. Yeah, that's how I feel too.
I thought it would be. I really thought it would be. And maybe even 5 years ago, it would have been.
Yeah.
But it's like I have reading kind of based on my moods, you know? Like if I want to sit and really interact with a book, I'll do this. If I've got to be doing other stuff, well, then I've got other things that will allow me to speed it up a bit more.
Well, I did want to ask one more navigation question. And I don't know whether you all have had any chance to experience anything like this. But I read a lot of technical books on iBooks and a lot of books from Tidbits Publishing, the Take Control books, especially about the Mac and Apple products. And they have something in them where a lot of the items are links. And in iBooks, you can just tap on a link and it will go to that particular portion of the book. Have you all experienced anything like that on the Kindle, and if so, is it possible to accessibly jump to a linked section of a book?
I haven't as of yet, no.
Okay.
No, but now I'm curious.
Okay.
I can tell you one really neat thing you can do with the Kindle, though, that you can't do with the iPhone. At least I wasn't able to. I was talking to a customer of ours at work at Saratech, and she was saying that she was using her Opticon to read the computer screen. Like if she had no speech for whatever reason, or it was something that didn't speak, or like she could read what was coming up as Windows was starting, that kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought, I wonder, because I don't have an Opticon, but I have a scanner. And so I brought up a page of a book on the Kindle and I put it on the scanner. And it read. Now, it read maybe 90 to 95% accurately.
Cool.
If I were reading an actual book that had the level of accuracy, I could deal with it.
The fact that your scanner can actually read the Kindle screen, I guess, speaks for the quality of the text on the screen. But the fact that the scanner can read that can really be helpful sometimes if you need to know a prompt or a message that's on the screen, it sounds like.
Right. Or even if there's a minor character in a book, a character, for example, that would not appear in the synopsis, and you needed or wanted to know how to spell that person's name, you could get the information that way.
Well, that's a creative solution to that issue of being able to scan. I'll have to try that if I get one of these Kindle devices. So the other thing that I wanted to touch on, we talked about speed and there only being three speeds and that being a little bit frustrating, a little bit dissatisfying. But it's my understanding that the voices are the Samantha voice, and I believe there's a male voice as well.
Yeah, it's the Samantha and the Tom voices. I personally prefer the Tom voice. I just always have.
Okay.
It's a very high quality version of the Tom voice. It's not, for example, like the one you would hear on the VR stream, for example. It's, Mm-hmm. It's very good quality, and I've really enjoyed reading with him.
Would so. You? I know you don't prefer Samantha, but would you say, Allison, that Samantha on the Kindle is roughly equivalent to Samantha on the iOS devices, or better or worse?
I would say, from the very limited experience I've had with the Samantha voice on the Kindle, I would say yes.
About the same?
Yes,
me too.
Yeah.
I mostly use Samantha, although for some reason, if I'm in a setting where there's a lot of background noise, I will use the Tom voice, just because for some reason it's a little easier for me to hear.
What about the volume of the Kindle when it's reading? Is it loud enough to hear well, or is it really soft, or can you turn it up very loud?
Yeah, you can adjust the volume really nicely. I've used the Kindle in several different environments, in my work lobby and at home, with various things going on in the background and everything, and I've never really had a problem with volume. It's really easy to adjust.
So it must have a pretty good little speaker.
It does produce
pretty good sound.
It's nice.
I'm assuming that you can plug headphones into it as well?
Yes.
And that works okay?
Yeah.
Very well.
And you know, that was really funny, because when I got my Kindle, I was slightly outraged. And I thought, well, where are the headphones? Or even earbuds or something? And I kind of smiled to myself, really, when I thought about it, that most people wouldn't use it with headphones, and that primarily it is not an audio device. And, you know, that is, of course, shown by some of the lack of accessibility.
I don't know for sure, but I would say that the Kindle is about as thick or thin as the iPad. I have mine in a case, and actually I think the case is kind of worth mentioning, because it's really secure. There are these two tiny little slits on the left-hand side of the keyboard, and there are these little metal protrusions on the case that go into the slits and hold it fast. So, not that you would want to do this all the time, but you could conceivably hold the Kindle just by its case and shake it, and the Kindle would remain in the case.
This case is something that's an optional purchase that you can buy in addition to the Kindle, I take it?
Yes.
It's my understanding that the Kindle will also play Audible books.
Yes, I think you can transfer them. I would imagine the easiest way to transfer them would be via USB. I think that there is a way to purchase Audible content on the Kindle itself. And there may even be a way, since Amazon and Audible have kind of merged now, there may be a way through Amazon to wirelessly deliver to the Kindle. But for me, I would probably just do the USB. It would probably be a little bit faster. But
yes.
I have not tried the Audible content on the Kindle yet. I would imagine that I would run into some frustration in terms of navigation, because the nice thing about doing Audible on my iDevices or my BookSense is the freedom of navigation that I have.
Yes, well, Audible and Amazon are now doing a thing with Kindle's WhisperSync syncing service, where an Audible book will be in sync on all of your devices, your Kindle, your iOS devices, and so forth. If you have that set up so that you can start an Audible book on your Kindle and you can pick up where you were on your iPhone, for example. And recently I found they were doing an experimental test of this, and they sold like 25. They actually gave away, I believe, 25 or so public domain Audible books if you were willing to sign up for this test. And so I did that and added 20-some books to my Audible library.
Nice.
And they're all set up to be synced with the Kindle. I'm not quite sure how it all works. I don't have a Kindle at this point to experiment with, but it's an interesting idea. The unfortunate thing for me about Audible and the Kindle, aside from what you already mentioned, that I'm sure it would take a while to actually download those big files, and you don't have much space with only 4 gigs there to work with. But the real downside for me is that you can only play Audible books at the normal speed. You can't speed them up. And me and Audible at the normal speed, would just be too slow for me personally.
It would be a lovely cure for insomnia. I did put one Audible book on my Kindle, and the Kindle book of the same title, because apparently it will also sync whether you're reading audibly or in, you know, the printed edition, but I haven't really gotten to do much with it yet.
That's an excellent point, and that's really what I meant to say, was that in addition to having them sync across your device, your Audible devices, apparently you can sync the printed Kindle book with the Audible book, and you can switch back and forth. So that's kind of an interesting idea. I'm not sure how useful that is, but I guess in some situations it might be. Is there anything else that either of you can think of that you would really want to mention about your Kindle experience so far? I mean, it feels like we've hit the highlights pretty well, but does anything jump out at either of you?
I would just want to say don't be afraid to get one and play with it and try, because it is really worth it to have that library at your fingertips.
It's a huge, huge library of materials.
Yes.
And Lisa, isn't the Kindle keyboard new, isn't it?
Yeah.
About $139 on Amazon?
That's right. Also, the learning curve. I mean, once you get it set up, the learning curve is really easy.
Yeah.
It's just not hard. I had a couple thoughts, actually. One is that there are plenty of resources for information. Accessible World has two podcasts, one by Jane Sheehan and one by Tim Emmons. And I believe the one by Jane is a little bit newer.
Yes,
but
it is.
But it talks you through the Kindle and discusses various options. The other resource that really, to me, was a very good one, and it outlines all the pluses and minuses. If you go to sarotalk.com and you search, Ricky Enger did a really comprehensive evaluation of the Kindle keyboard, and that is a text document. It's not an audio, but it's an excellent read, and I would encourage you to do that. The final thing is, and I just haven't had time. I'm in the middle of a temporary move because we could be getting some flooding, and that's why my audio is in and out. I'm on 3G at this point. But this one kind of really bugs me, and so I'm determined by hook or by crook to find a way to do it. I also have Amazon Prime, and as a Prime member, I am entitled to borrow one free book a month. But the problem is you have to do it from the Kindle. And I got to the point where I could put a book in my wish list, and when you put a Kindle book in your wish list and you're looking at it on the Kindle, only the Kindle books show up. So my theory is, if I put one book in the wish list at a time, that I should be able to do presses of the up and down or left and right arrows to get to what I want and to borrow it as a Prime member. I haven't made that happen. I haven't been able to yet, but I'm hoping to. One of the really nice things is that you can get a sample of a book. And ordering a sample is just as easy, or buying a sample, because they say buy now. Buying a sample is just as easy as buying an actual Kindle book. And they give you a nice long sample. I don't know if it's a certain percentage of the book, because I did find an ebook that was 20 pages, and of course they gave you a very small sample. But with some books you get, you know, a full chapter or two. And it's really great because, as we all know, sometimes the synopsis doesn't do a book justice, but then other times you just wonder if the person who wrote the synopsis was really the same person who read the book, because they don't go together at all. So this sample feature is really a wonderful one. And like I said, you would order that the same way you would a regular book.
If you do get a sample of a book and you decide to buy the book, does the actual purchased version just replace the sample?
That's my understanding. Again, this is one of those things I haven't done. What I do is I go through my samples every so often, and I will read the ones that are new to me, and I will save the other ones on the Kindle. And so that's sort of like my full wish list, if that makes sense. rather than recopying those names down on the computer, I just leave them on the Kindle. And then, you know, I can order, I can buy a book when I'm ready to. Another thing that's kind of a negative, my phone just gave me a low battery warning.
And yes, it I hear that. Talk fast.
When the Amazon Kindle's battery is low, it's like, the battery is low, goodbye. I mean, it doesn't say goodbye, but
it doesn't give you
it may
a
as well.
Time.
No, and there is no gauge on the battery, unfortunately.
No accessible gauge.
Right, right. It just goes.
Okay. All right, well, I think we've really covered it nicely here, and I thank you all both so much for doing it. Any final thing you want to add, Allison?
Nothing I could think of right now, but thanks so much for having me. I'm glad to be back.
Well, I want us to get off here before Lisa's battery completely dies. And Lisa, good luck with that pending storm. I sure hope it isn't too bad for you up there. And yeah. Thank you both for being here and doing this, and I really appreciate it.
My pleasure. You know, maybe we should stay on and talk. There are probably some of your listeners who would pay a premium to see Lisa forcibly shut up or shut down or whatever.
Oh,
no.
Battery is low. Goodbye.
Well, thank you all for listening to this particular version of the Tech Doctor podcast. Look forward to talking to you again in the near future. But in the meantime, if you have questions or comments, feel free to contact me at techdoctor123@gmail.com. And until next time, so long from the Tech Doctor.